You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 6th of December. The Jazz win streak comes to an end to the Thunder on a night that might have been all about the Thunder. Donovan Mitchell is oh so very special. I believe it more today than I did yesterday, and that seems to be every day. Plus the NBA 5 all on a draft Wednesday. It's a loaded fun show today. It's Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Thanks for tuning in today. I really appreciate it. It's great to be able to do this show and know that there are people out there listening. The numbers have been huge this last week. Obviously, the team does that, not me, but it's still really cool. So thank you so much. If you're new to the show, welcome. And if you're new to the show, great. And have a few people, by the way, tell people if you like it, because we'd love to have you. Love to have you on board, and more people. Then you can have better, smarter conversations with people. What is this show? It is a daily podcast on the Utah Jazz and the NBA, in which we give you the inside scoop, we break it down, we give you geeky numbers, we reveal behind the curtain a little bit. We do a lot of fun stuff, so thanks very much for tuning in. Today's show is brought to you by my good friends at Slow the Flow. I love Slow the Flow. They've taken this like idea, this concept that is really something we know we all should be doing. So it's like, oh, you're right. I know. I should go to slowtheflow.org and I should learn water-wise tips. And they've made it fun. So I really tip the hat to them. Consider getting a WaterSense certified showerhead, which can save hundreds of gallons. Get more tips at slowtheflow.org. It's also brought to you, my friends, at the store. Gosh, I love it when I get my little emails from the guys at the store at 6200 South 20th East. Like the first one, I had to stop this week. I got my email from them. We are now baking our own fresh in-house butter flake rolls, orange butter flake rolls, and cinnamon rolls. Okay, like I'm done. I'm in. That's good. Then I like kept going down. Monday special, fresh large pepperoni and cheese pizza. Like, oh, stop. And just a note for everybody, I tell you all about the mudslide cookie. Today is buy fresh one baked cookie, get one free. Which means I will have to find an excuse to get to 6200 South and 20th East. We'll get to the show. It's also Draft Wednesday. We need one more person to fill up our draft. And then if it fills up, I'll launch another one because you're listening to the podcast, so you didn't get to be a part of it. And we've actually just launched, so I will be drafting while the show is going on. Draft Wednesday is super fun. We do it across the Locked On Podcast Network. It's a daily fantasy draft. You use the promo code it's called Draft. Just download the app Draft. You can do it online as well, or just at draft.com. And it's super fun because instead of salary cap, it's snake draft. You can get your buddies together. Use the promo code LOJAZZ after your first deposit. I think they give you $3 game for free. And I just tell you, I've had a blast with it. I'm trying to get my buddies together instead of playing fantasy football just to do this together. It's super, super fun. And the snake draft, the best part of fantasy is draft night, and then you have to do the whole season. So you actually get the draft phenomena every single time. And on Wednesdays, there's always so many games, so we do the draft on – All right, that's enough. Let's go. Let's hit the show. Sorry, that's like 3 minutes. Sorry. All right. And then I always like it when someone else picks DeMarcus Cousins. So the Jazz lost last night, and I really feel as though last night's game, as much as anything – was largely about the Thunder, if that makes any sense. And here's why I feel that way. The Thunder come into that game. If they lose that game, they've lost three in a row, and people are going bananas. If they win that game, they've lost that game, they've lost 6 of 9, and people are going absolutely bananas. If they win that game, they're talking about three in a row and how everything's changed. And I think Westbrook just saw it and knew it. And Russell's that great. But the Jazz were up 17 at one point. Russell willed them back. The game swings in the fourth quarter early when the Jazz lose a 12-point lead down to 6 by the time Russell comes back. And I really think that's where the game swung. But I got to be honest. I think last night was about the Thunder. They're probably more talented than the Jazz in some ways. I mean, they have superstars. And I think they had to have it. I really, really do. And every now and then, I think you got to just kind of tip your hat and look across the way and say, all right, you guys kind of saved your season last night. And that's a little bit of how I feel about last night's game. I love a lot of last night's game. The Jazz took 42% of their shots as threes again. The Jazz shot chart is awesome. You know what? That's how we're going to have to win games, being smart like that. Our defensive shot chart, which has been the number two shot defensive shot chart over the last, I think, 10 games, is once again, they were great. Absolutely fabulous defensive shot chart last night. These are little subtle things, but they're what you're supposed to do. I looked at the three-point shooting by quarter last night, and I think fatigue has a lot to do with that game. I actually went and spent a bunch of time talking to our director of medical on the plane last night, because one of the things I think happened in the second quarter of that game last night, both the timeouts were taken by the 7-minute mark, and the Jazz were just gasping to get to the finish line by halftime. They looked just exhausted. And I wondered whether or not, I went to talk to him about, do players actually come back from that? Like, if you've redlined at some point during the game, do you get back? He said, you should. You should be able to get sit on the bench, get rest. It has a lot to do with, like, your load over, you know, 2 weeks more than that night, and sometimes more than the back-to-back. It's a little bit of why the whole day of 5 games and 7 and 4 games and 5 that they've eliminated from the NBA is far more detrimental than just a single game. And I think that those are, I think it's a really interesting, and who knows, maybe our guys' workload. I mean, I think you saw Rudy redline during that game and coming back on a back on a second game and didn't have the juice that he has had in the past. So I think that that's what I saw. And then I think, you know, we didn't have the energy to be able to bounce back. All right, I got to make my pick. My first two are easy. I got Giannis Antetokounmpo and Jimmy Butler. And now the key on this whole thing is you're drafting 5 players on play draft, and I've got to figure out whether it's time to go to a center or whether I go to another forward. I think I'm going to go Kristaps. Oh, he's probable. If you draft a player that's hurt, it's a problem. I'm going to go Draymond Green. Okay. So I've now not taken a center or a guard coming in, but you sometimes can kind of gamble that all the centers are gone. There's a 6-guy draft, and there's Nikolai Vukovic, DeAndre Jordan, and Dwight Howard are all there, and they're all probably pretty similar. It's kind of, that's what makes this so much fun, this draft format. So anyway, so that's my feeling on last night. I do think we got fatigued, but I liked a lot of the way we played. So let's take our deep dive, as we always do, about the ball game. But that was my big picture last night. I don't really take this one like as, oh, the Jazz lost last night, as much as I look at it as I think the Thunder had to win. And they're worried there in Oklahoma City about that team. There's a lot of concern about what that team is, how, whether they're going to be able to put things together, how they look. That whole, there's a lot of concern there about that team. Let's look at the numbers last night. Our offense finally comes down. Last night was at a 98.1. Anything under 100 is pretty bad. So the fourth best defensive team in the league was obvious last night. They were long. They got into passing lanes. They deflected balls. And they had their impact. Our effective field goal percentage was 50%, which is right at league average. We turned the ball over again 17% of the time, but that's what the Thunder do. They're the number one turnover team in the league. So you're playing on a back end of a back-to-back in their building. They're a bit desperate. They're the number 4 defensive team in the league, number 1 team in the league at forcing turnovers. And I thought all those things kind of came. The ball didn't ping around like it usually has. The Jazz didn't get the great plays last night were break cuts to the basket. But at the same time, again, look at the Jazz shot chart last night. It's really pretty. So even in that circumstance, the Jazz only took 7 mid-range shots, maybe 8, depending where you put 2 or 3 shots. I think they were 2 of 8. Like, they're bad. You know, you don't make those shots. I said earlier that Alec was making an inordinate amount of mid-range shots, and that was going to come to an end. And in fact, it did with him going 2 of 9. But so the offense went to 98.1 for night. That's not good. But Oklahoma City is probably going to do that to you in that circumstance. It's nothing dramatic happening. Frankly, we've had nights in the 80s, and that was a prime night for that. I think you saw actually a lot of progress. Defensively, we were at 104.4, which was pretty good. The 104.4 means that you are not quite league average against an offense that's not been great. So you probably could have been a little bit better in that regard. It's not a good offensive night. It's not a good defensive night. It's not a bad, it's right where you should be. The league average, I think, is hovering about 106 right now, and Oklahoma City's 20th in the league, and you held them to 104. The defense did everything good. It's really, I'm not trying to, that's kind of what my point on this is. Nothing terrible happened last night. Kind of probably what's supposed to happen last night. And, you know, I thought we had a really hard time scoring the basketball at times where you don't have, and we our lineup on the floor, if I remember correctly, was Ricky Rubio, Alec Burks, Royce O'Neal, Jonas Hurtado, and Rudy. Well, if in that second team, trying to score is where you really miss Rodney Hood and you miss Joe Johnson. I don't want to suddenly come back. You know, having not talked injuries during the 6-game win streak, suddenly talk about them as the excuse, but they do become more prevalent when you're playing really good basketball teams, right? Like, I think that's really, really accurate. All right, let's. Anything else on numbers? We'll take our little gander at shots. I'm trying to look if there's anything interesting on. Our defensive rebounding wasn't great last night. They got 32% of the offensive rebounds. Steven Adams really kicked our butt. He had 6 offensive rebounds, probably won the game for them. Let's go look at specifically at shot selection, which just seems to be a large key to me. But that tells me that, you know, we got 33 threes off and hit 11 of them. He hit 13 of them, which is back at our average. And all of a sudden we're talking about the fact that we played overtime against the Thunder or something. I mean, so there's not a lot of worry on my end. In fact, our next segment's going to be about Donovan, and there's a lot of the Jazz were 18 of 45 on uncontested looks, which is 40%, which is good, not great. The Thunder were 18 of 47, which is right about where they should be because they're not a good shooting team. They had 47 uncontested look. Russell Westbrook had 17. Carmelo Anthony had 14. Carmelo was 3 of 14, and Westbrook was 6 of 17. I did not leave the building last night thinking to myself, they've figured that out. Does that make sense? They're loaded. I mean, boy, it's something else late in that game when that game's close and you know you're going up against them and they can go get the ball to any of those guys. That's something else. But those on the other end, those guys aren't that. I don't know. I mean, those guys aren't that. What's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say they aren't that great because they are, but they're not that efficient, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Right? That's probably what jumps out at me. Officially, the shot chart, we always like to look at that on the game for the Jazz, is the Jazz took, on the most basic level, 31 shots in the restricted area, 7 in the paint non-restricted, 8 in the mid-range, and 33 threes. It's fabulous. 3 of 8 on mid-range, they're calling it officially, 2 of 7 on paint non-restricted. That's why you don't want those shots. That's 5 of 15. They missed one shot in there. You go 6 of 15, you're right on the league average. We didn't shoot great at restricted area, but again, that's 1 or 2 shots. Fine. Good. Not a bad night in any way. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to drastically overreact about. Nothing particular. The one thing I did want to start mentioning, because I think they're really cool, are hustle stats. So let's go give our hustle credit to our hustle players. Last night, screen assists, Gobert just 3. Deflections, Donovan Mitchell 7, Tabo Sefolosha 5, 2 for Joe Ingles, 2 for Rudy Gobert. Charge drawn, Donovan Mitchell had the one on Paul George. Contested shots, 10 for Rudy Gobert, 8 for Tabo Sefolosha, 9 for Joe Ingles. Last night, Jazz contested 49 shots, the Thunder contested 55. Wow. All right, that was my kind of wrap on last night. No drama. Good game. Up by 17 is pretty darn impressive in their building. They needed to win. They did. That's kind of my impact. Well, I drafted Draymond Green and now just got a note that Draymond Green has been changed to doubtful and I can swap him out for an active player. Well, that bums me out. All right. That's the problem. That's the problem with taking great players on great teams when they don't need to win every night. The Warriors are probably in panic mode because of Steph Curry. I mentioned it earlier. My friends at the store have got fun and exciting things going on right now for the holiday season. Stop on by 6200 South 20th East. Let's get to the first and singular most important things. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, 6200 South 20th East, it is buy one cookie, get one free day. Limit six cookies? Oh, that's not fair. Okay, we'll understand that. Military Day on Thursday over at the store. Saturday's the Fresh Pie and our Bakery Day. These are the things, and Sunday is the Hot Buffet Bar. This is what I love about the store, 6200 South, 20th East. They just give you such a great family community environment by having these fun little Fresh Pie in the Bakery Day, and you get one free Red Button ice cream on Saturdays. Like, really? Can you have anything better than a place that gives you apple pie on days? There's so much great about the store. First of all, Jeff and Scott have built it so that they, if there's a neat product, they put it in. It's not some corporate event where you've got this and they can't, you're moving mountains to put a product in. And so they have great things. From my end, I love their cold brew setup. They've got all the brands across the country. They've got a great coffee selection. I'm trying to get them to put in the lock coffee of the day so you guys can find out what fuels this show. The bakery over on the right-hand side, you come in the left and all the produce. And then in the back, they're making their salsa and their guacamole and all their great home things. It's just such a great, the back left corner, you've got the hot food buffet and the barbecue chicken is amazing. And if you want to start barbecuing stuff, you go right around the corner and you head over to their Ace Hardware store, the Cottonwood Ace, and you go get your green egg and you go get your Traeger. They have the best Traeger display that is around of in the entire state. It's really the only showroom that's taking place. So stop by 6200 South 20th East, the store, and find out what a great environment is. I do want to point out one thing. They're doing some really cool holiday events, including a book drive as well. So please, if you're over there, they're participating in the Startup Santa book and donation drive for some underprivileged kids living here in Utah. So today through the 14th, they're accepting books and money donations towards Santa Startup Drive and asking for new or gently used books. And they have a container up front. So please be a part of that as well. Love in a day and age of every city we land in, the same corporate big boxes there. Places like the store warm my heart in the holidays to be able to touch the community. 6200 South, 20th East. Donovan Mitchell is crazy special. Crazy, crazy special. He scored 31 last night, being guarded by Andre Robertson and Paul George. Andre Robertson and Paul George are the two, along with maybe Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green, it was kind of a somebody point, are that's the toughest match. I mean, we went into last night on a back-to-back-to-back, and I said Robertson go right to him. And was like, oh, wow. I mean, oh, wow. Because, frankly, Andre Robertson puts fear into coaching staffs with his defense. You know, we didn't want to play them in the playoffs last year. Gordon Hayward's last games last year in Oklahoma City, 3 of 9, 9 points, 7 of 17, 19 points, 6 of 17, 17 points. Like, we didn't want to play them last year in the playoffs because Andre Robertson was the one player in the NBA who took Gordon somewhat out of his game. Like, I mean, Gordon had 17 and 19 and 9, but so the Jazz played them four times last year. Gordon was 7 of 14, 0 of 4 from 3, 17 points on 14 times. Gordon's way better than that. He was 6 of 17, 2 of 6, 3 free throw attempts, 17 points, 17 shots. Third matchup, 7 of 17, 19 points. Gordon also had 5 rebounds, 3 steals. Last matchup, 3 of 9. Now, that night, by the way, I think there was no Gobert and there was no Favors. It was kind of just a mess. He played 21 minutes. But he couldn't do it. Robertson got in on him. The year prior, Gordon Hayward, 2 of 6, 6 points, 8 of 18, 22 points, 5 of 11, 19 points, 5 of 11, 19 points. Okay, it's not that, like, Gordon Hayward's so good that Andre Robertson, like, limited, but Andre Robertson physically defended Gordon Hayward better than any player in the NBA did. I feel comfortable with that. No player bothers him more. Now, maybe that's game. Let's go back to Donovan Mitchell in the draft and what people were saying about him. They liked him. What position is he? Is he a hybrid? Is he going to be all right? He's little, right? And I said this. This is not people. This is me. I was concerned about two things about him, and I said it and told you to cool the Jets on him, and I was wrong. The two things I told you to cool the Jets on him were the dude is small. He's 6'3", and tell me how many 6'3" shooting guards there are in the NBA. Right? That was number one. And number two, he's a 2-foot jumper. All right? Well, guess what? He saw the 2-foot jumper. And in my opinion, last night, he solved the being small. Because Andre Robertson and Paul George are the biggest combination of guys he's going to play. Andre Robertson's wingspan is 7 feet. And he's 6'7". Paul George's wingspan is 7 feet and he's 6'9". If there's a night in which Donovan Mitchell is not going to be able to handle it, that's it. And he handled it. 31 points. But like more than 31 points, 22 shot attempts. He made two mistakes late. I kind of like the idea of trying to get the ball late to Gobert for that dunk and not shooting. Like the criticism of him might have been that after scoring 41 against New Orleans, he was not trying to make the right play. He was too into himself. And so his mistake last night is on a pass. Okay. His other mistake last night is something he's going to have to learn. Because he is a little smaller and they're running the pick and roll, they were trapping him with Steven Adams. So he was reluctant to go off the pick because then he runs into the trap and he's having a little bit of a hard time understanding what to do. So he went away from the pick. At least this is my take. He went away from the pick to rise up and try to get a three off, and Robertson blocked it. Because Robertson's the best on-ball defender in the NBA. And that's just learning. And I don't know the answer. Maybe it's to attack it. He tried to attack it. You know, he tried everything. If you go back and watch, and maybe I will go through this. If you go back and kind of watch the fourth quarter on him, he tries a lot of things. He tries to split a double team of the trap and then turns it over. He tries some various items in that approach. So I think that you have a learning process going, and he's incredible. He scored 31, so he's now scored 20 more, which is an arbitrary number, but he's done it now 10 times in 25 games. There's just the group of people who've done this is slim. It doesn't actually mean that we're guaranteed that he's going to be a Hall of Famer, right? Like the guys who have done it in the last 20 years are Tyreek Evans, Joel Embiid, Damian Lillard, O.J. Mayo, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Blake Griffin. Pretty good run right there. Lamar Odom, Jahlil Okafor, Carmelo Anthony, Vince Carter, Steve Francis. I mean, let's get a little crazy here. Like Embiid, we don't know about. So Dame Lillard is going to be is an all-star. So of the 12 players who scored 20 or more in their first 10 games, Tyreek Evans just turned out to be a regular guy. Injuries. Embiid is like Hall of Fame caliber. We'll see. Dame Lillard is a perennial all-star caliber. O.J. Mayo did not. Kevin Durant's going to the Hall of Fame. Kyrie Irving's going to the Hall of Fame. Blake Griffin's going to the Hall of Fame. Lamar Odom was a perennial all-star. Jahlil Okafor turns out to be nothing. Carmelo's going to the Hall of Fame. Vince Carter's going to the Hall of Fame. And Steve Francis was a perennial all-star type. All right, that's pretty good company. The following did not. LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Paul Pierce, Karl-Anthony Towns, Pau Gasol, and Anthony Davis. They didn't do it. They didn't score 20 or more. If he scores 20 or more, the next game, will the list doesn't change, actually. LeBron, actually, well, no, if he goes to 11, then we're down to 11, then we're down to 11 players. Steve Francis falls off. Is it? Like, we're going to keep this game going. It's an arbitrary, weird number, but this is what we're watching. We're watching somebody who's really, really special. And that he did what he did last night to me. I think that's the best performance of his career. It's, you know, we got 25 game sample size and 41 at home is a big deal. To me, that's the best game he's played. Because that level of difficulty was through the roof. And I'm wowed by him right now. And his demeanor, and on a back-to-back, and his fatigue, and what he's doing shooting, and he's getting better every game. It's just awesome. I mean, it really. And start putting together 10-game stretches now, and, you know, it's when you start playing around, he might make a run at Ben Simmons for Rookie of the Year. Like, I thought that was insane a few weeks ago. But let's go play. I mean, here's the last 10 games by Donovan Mitchell. So Donovan Mitchell's last 10 games are he's shooting 45% from the field, 44% from three, 82% from the free throw line. He's got 21 points, 4 rebounds, and 5 assists. 21, 4, and 5. Stretch it out to include like a stretch it out to back to Philadelphia when he goes 3 of 21, right? Like his disaster game. Still 44%, 39% from 3, 20 points a game, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. Shorten it to the last 5 games. You take out. In the last 5 games, he's averaging 27 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, shooting 52%, 47, and 87. Really? I mean, it's insane. It's really insane. You got to hold back a tiny bit just because of the fact that you got to hold back a tiny bit. And if you don't hold back a tiny bit, you're putting him in the same sentence with Hall of Famers 25 games into his NBA career. But the performance he's having, which let's scouting reports figure out. Let's see what happens when everyone goes at him. Like, what the next step in this process is incredibly difficult. Is incredibly difficult. But he is headlining now. And it's pretty awesome. It is really awesome. I've got a bunch of other notes about rotation and things like that. We can do them tomorrow. Because, frankly, I'm putting together another million-minute show, and you guys don't need that much of me. The slow the flow people want you to become water efficiency all-stars. Water efficiency all-star. What is a water efficiency all-star? A water efficiency all-star is somebody who does the things that make their team win. The little things. The pick setting. The extra pass. The extra pass is putting a low-flow toilet in. You'll save 0.3 gallons per flush, which doesn't sound a lot, but if you start counting your flushes, you don't need to. A little ticker. Count flush. Oh, I got 4 flushes today. Another way to boost your rating is to take showers instead of baths. Keep them under 5 minutes. With a 5-minute shower, you use about 12 to 22 gallons of water. A full tub uses about 70 gallons. Little by little, small changes like that take you to becoming a water efficiency all-star. If you keep it up, we won't build you a statue. Maybe a really cool, like, you know, they have those chocolate. Have you ever been to one of those events that has like the chocolate shower? Like, maybe we'll have a water thing that folds in somehow into your body form as a statue because you've saved that much H2O. No, seriously, this is important stuff. Obviously, we finally have white stuff on the ground. We're way below. We live in a desert. Take care of Utah. Other people are not. So make sure that you slow the flow. Slow the flow. Save H2O. Go to slowtheflow.org. All right, let's do the NBA 5. There's some mammoth stories today. Steve Clifford has stepped away. Cliff's a great guy for health issues. The Charlotte's not playing well, so that's too bad. And hopefully he's all right. And I'm close with their assistant or their GM Rich Cho. So you know that's all part of the family. I hope they're well. The NBA Players Association just sent out a memo to players. This is from Adrian Wojnarowski that. ASM, which is Andy Miller Sports president. So Andy Miller has been relinquished his National Basketball Players Agent certification. He represents Porzingis, Kyle Lowry, dozen others. He's a huge power-broking agent in the NBA. This is all part of the college basketball scandal. This is a big deal. This story is just mammoth, and I have no idea where it's going to head and how it's ever. Here's what I don't actually, everybody I've talked to around doesn't know how it's ever going to stop. Steph Curry's ankle injury is the same one that he's had his problems with. It is a big deal. And he is out for a while. Maybe we don't see him by Christmas when we play them December 27th. And Houston is playing well enough to go take the number one seed. Everyone thinks I'm crazy, but Houston is every bit as good offensively as Golden State, which to me means they can challenge them in a playoff series. Doesn't mean they can beat them, but to me it means they can challenge them. I just got an email from Jeff Sorensen that last night was on Baxter Holmes' schedule list. I didn't know that. Baxter Holmes, ESPN writer, does this great thing about the schedule and last of how much fatigue. And he has something called an MAH score of 8 or higher. You lose 63% of the time. And last night was an 8. So that's pretty good for the Jazz actually last night to play in that game. And the record and his record on these games is just terrific so far. So it's really interesting how much is playing. We have to have the worst one in the league, by the way. And it's a TNT game, so I don't think we can rest players. But I don't know if you guys are aware of this. But we go on this mammoth road trip coming up. Milwaukee, we actually come home, then go back to Chicago, Boston, Cleveland, Houston, Oklahoma City, and we come back and play a back end of a back to back against the San Antonio Spurs. You know what? Middle finger right back at you, league. Holy smokes. That one is just absurd. And it's on a TNT game, so I don't think you're allowed to rest your players. It's really, that one is something else. Here's the team that, there's two teams that have me most fascinated right now. One is the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm watching them. They're winning games, and they don't look right. And I'm going to stay on this one until I see something different. Excuse me, but the breakdowns I'm seeing that out of them on a regular basis are eye-opening, and something's not right there. Jimmy Butler is right and is so good that he's making them win games. That's truly what is making them survive is how great Jimmy Butler is. The other one that I am very intrigued by is the Portland Trailblazers. The Portland Trailblazers came back from an East Coast trip where they went to Memphis, Philadelphia, Brooklyn, Washington, and New York. Awesome. Won 4 of 5. They were playing incredible defense. And you look at their roster and you're saying to yourself, is that team really like the third or fourth best defensive team in the league? It didn't seem to make sense. They came home for a 4-game homestand of Milwaukee, New Orleans, Washington, and Houston. And they have gotten waxed. They lost to Milwaukee by 12. To New Orleans by 7, and they lost to Washington and Bradley Beal by 14 last night. Something in their numbers to me, I haven't watched them, this is just numbers, doesn't feel right. Like, I just can't buy that they are that good a defensive team, and if they're not that good a defensive team, and that's going to come to an end, then what happens about the fact that their offense isn't right because Nurkic has been bad this year? And I just can't believe that Nurkic, who's now injured, is that good of an offensive player. Or excuse me, that good of a defensive player. Now, maybe I'm wrong. And I'll regret this because this is not off an eyeball. But they're ranked as the fourth best defensive team in the league. And Terry Stotts plays a very conservative defense and does some things. We'll see. You know, they've been that good all year. Their first 10 games, they're the fourth best. Their second 10 games, they're the third best. And now they've slipped. But let's keep an eye on them because that to me is a team that I'm curious to see what's going on and how it is that they're winning and what they're not shooting the ball well. They're 28th in the league in effective field goal percentage. Like, that's not Portland. Portland should be shooting. So there's two ways to look at Portland, I guess. One is, oh my gosh, they're not shooting well. They're still winning. Duck and take cover. Or two is they're winning defensively, and there's just no way that they're that good a defensive team. But what Terry Stotts does, he puts them in a shell. They don't force turnovers. They keep you off the rim. They make you just take poor analytical shots, and then they rebound. And it's working. And we'll see if it keeps working. That is the show today. That is your NBA 5. Thanks so much. 35 minutes again? I got to find a way to cut this thing down for you. 20-some-odd minutes. I'll see what I can do. It is Locked On Jazz, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Sam Amick is scheduled for a visit on Locked On NBA today, and I look forward to having it for you. It is the Locked On Podcast Network.